Blog Talk Radio.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. Change. We all a part of God's perfect family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Dr. King.
You read that parable, you
will lose God. Dr. King. And just marched in Washington. And they marched in Washington. And marched Washington. Open house. They marched Washington for people to stand up. Tonight, we honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. movement at buses to Washington, D.C. And people came from Mississippi, Arkansas. They came from Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee. Some came by bus, by car. Some walked. They was there on the call, and his call was people to come to the march. Now, I'm going to pray tonight. Now, it's been a long time. When they had to march on Washington. Lots of people have died. They become ancestors, I say. What we do? Where we go? Who we call? call the Almighty. I'm praying tonight and all the families, the lost loved one. I'm talk about them that lost loved ones. One lost the mother, the sisters, and the brother. It meant with some mothers that lost their sons and their daughter. And they took
what we're going to do.
And Mama Joe said, if my people are called by name, pray and turn from their ways,
God will heal the land.
Now, I want to say this tonight. Several people call me. And I said that we earthquake back Pearl Noir. Prophesied that, maybe no, I prophesied. I said, going into we're going to have a hurricane back to back, and people got to leave. And I'm going to have Mama Joda pray tonight. And so many people called and enjoyed Mama Joe on her anniversary. Happy birthday, Mama Joe, and to all family and home to them. Pastor Hill, on the 50 years that's on side on earth that happened out here. You lost your sister to tell you tonight. Things gonna work out for you. Doors gonna open up for you. And we're praying for you. I want to see some behind us. East, west, north, and south. And I want you to read the 23rd number. I'm the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I want you to get ready tonight for a prayer. I'm going to bring you drop off and shout and kill them anyway. Murder is among us. The demons is among us. The warlocks and witches is among us. You have to cover yourself with prayer. You have to cover yourself with the anointing of God. Glory, hallelujah. God will bring you out of it, man. Nobody, can't no president, can't no mayor, can't no governor. Anybody, God, will bring you from your weak ways. I'm talking about nothing coming back. And it's going to hit Florida like it never did before. It's going to hit evil like it never did before. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray in her heart to pray for you. So you on the line. And she won't do that prayer. Pray for you. Because she got that Mama Joe. She won't pray. Yeah. And she said, Bishop, I'm going to pray for the prayer. I don't know if you're listening or not, but you're supposed to be praying. And I want to tell you, I'm praying for you, and I can pray for him too. There's so much going on, and God is calling on these prophets to speak out. They hide. These prophets, he's speaking out. All the killing. Saying about what's going on in our world today. God is able to move some things around. God is able to turn some things around. I want to get there. with you. Mama Joe, you on the line? I see a number. I want to ask you. I want to get married. I'm married, no one. I probably get married. Hawking on this line. Mary. Mary Hawking. I am prophesying about these storms and these floods. And some blessing them. And some people tell me when it was going out of this kind of quick fast. But asking me when it was coming. Now, we have the March on Washington. It's been 19 years since ago. And everything changed. People want to lose the fact going through what's going on in our life. Dr. King, I'm going to play this. Dr. King is in Chicago. Dr. King was in Chicago. And Dr. King was organizing he was at and this was in 68.
You going in and out. We can't hardly hear you.
When Dr. King was going in and out.
Yes, you is.
And Dr. King talking about that Jesus called a man a fool because he maximized the maximum and he minimized that of him. Well, I bring it up. And Jesus called, we let my prison back to church. And Dr. King spoke that. He said, Jesus called a man a fool.
The man didn't understand
all the bad comes from God. I believe
tonight
some of our black feel that they made it by themselves.
Our ancestors
paid price.
Died
on the
way here.
So we got black now that they can do it all by themselves.
I want to share with them
Dr. King
fault and ancestors fault. We got ready to go to Washington.
You get a busload from all over the cities to Chicago, Washington for the march.
Now, I want to ask a question. You know, Pearl, I want you to say something. I think I'm going to get Pearl on the line. Pearl is one of our seniors.
And she can
remember Dr. King.
I can get Pearl on the line.
Pearl.
I can't hardly hear you. Your voice is going in and out, and I can't hear.
Okay, can you hear me now?
No.
What did you talk about
Dr. King, Marge, and
Marge? I can't hear.
You can't. What is going in and out?
In and out.
Yes.
Let me look at things. See.
What you doing with you? Going in and out. Okay. Now, Pearl, do you listen now? I've adjusted this thing. Do you look to it? You hear now, Pearl?
No, I can't.
It might be a bad line sometimes. People can't hear. You know, I was trying to get some of the people. I was trying to get Mama Joe from Louisiana. It might be storming down there. And you know, y'all might not be getting it because hurricane coming. I mean, the hurricane is going to hit Alabama, Georgia, so you might not be able to get a clear channel because of that. Because Mississippi, she couldn't get here. But that's the problem.
By St. Luke. It is the story of a man
one of the marches that Dr. King was on, and Dr. King in Atlanta, and Dr. King down in Detroit, he spoke, and I had a dream. I want to hear a little bit before we talk about calling him. This is what he did in Washington, D.C.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. So we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content, we'll have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But
that Dr. King, I want to go to Jeff Marshall. I want to know what people think about Deborah Ann. Deborah Ann.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What do you think about
I can't understand you, Bishop. You're going in and out.
What do you think about the Martha White?
What you say, Bishop?
March on Washington.
Bishop, you're breaking up. I can't understand nothing.
The reason I'm breaking up is the storm on his way in. And that's
all
right. Hold on.
What you say, Bishop?
What
what she heard, what I said.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must fail to conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people, for many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that the next year, not next week, not tomorrow.
Thank you. That's why I'm here right now. I'm not going anywhere.
Happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today, signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. those who hoped that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must be able to conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. As we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of all the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our bodies heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the city. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's cry. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city. We will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
And it's right now being asked, kind of randomness of it, right? Kind of crazy randomness. That would be nice to have some kind of closure to understand how you Thank you.